Our next guest, Mike Spitz, grew up in Cincinnati, and as a kid, he spent time and probably money at Everybody's Records in Pleasant Ridge. In 2000, he moved to Southern California and continued the practice of visiting local record stores, and now he's showing his appreciation. That's the short version of the story behind the record store book, 50 Legendary and Iconic Places to Discover New and Used Vinyl. He took the pictures, and Rebecca Villaneta wrote the words. Mike Spitz, thanks for being here, and welcome back to Cincinnati.
Thank you very much.
So what is it about used record stores that got you revved up in the first place, back when you were still living here in Cincinnati?
Well, I started going to record stores probably 1977, 78, when I was a kid. I used to go to Record Theater in Norwood. They're not really around anymore, but then in 1978, Everybody's Records opened, and I used to walk to Pleasant Ridge School, and I would go past that store. Now, I was pretty much done with elementary by that time, but, you know, I knew where they were, so I would walk there, and that became kind of my second home, and I really got into records. I sort of inherited that interest from my brother, who collected a lot of records, and he just kind of got me hooked on it.
So from there, let's talk about the other part, the photography. When did that become a thing for you?
Well, that became an interest later. I started out in the theater and acting and then filmmaking, and I kind of veered into still photography probably around 2000, 1999, 2000. And I got more and more into that over the last 10 to 15 years.
So you put both of these together into the book, the record store book, and it seems kind of weird, doesn't it, that you're using a visual medium to celebrate the retail spaces dedicated to the distribution of audio?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know how you would do it in an audio way, you know, to show record stores. But, you know, when I was starting off with this project, I noticed that there really weren't any books like this. There were no photography books that illustrated and celebrated record stores. So I was like, I can do that. And it was a good merge for me. It was a good way of merging my passion for photography, my passion for music, for records. I used to play in a band. So all those things came together. There's a little bit of portraiture in the book. There's urban architecture. So it was a really good way of merging all those different elements.
Now, I've seen books that actually have pictures of bookstores. But the thing with bookstores, especially around the world, you see them in many beautiful spaces. Refurbished churches and cathedrals and things have become bookstores. Record stores, not so much. I mean, we're not really talking about the outside of the building. We're talking more of what's inside.
Yeah. I mean, the insides, I think, became more and more important when I got into the project more. At first, I was thinking the storefront. That's kind of what I had in my mind, because I'm very much into street photography and urban architecture and, you know, the interesting look of a storefront. But as you get drawn in, it's really what's inside that's more interesting. And in the book, many of our layouts really focus on the interior of the store. That's really where everything is.
Now, we should mention that in the record store book, you focus on just one area of Southern California, just around Los Angeles and stuff. What was it about the 50 stores in the book that you found worth photographing?
There was a uniqueness to every store. No two stores were alike. A lot of them had been around for a long time, and there were several new ones that have opened up in the last 4 to 5 years. While I was shooting the project, a lot of new ones came onto the scene. Because they're all competing with each other in a good way, in a positive way, they have to find a niche. They have to find something that makes their store unique. So some of them are kind of the dusty, cluttered old record store. Some of them are a little more boutique-like. Some of them, you know, offer coffee. Some of them have other stuff there that really aren't related to records. But they all find a way to be a little different because there's so many of them and they have to stand out.
Okay, so each of these stores have a personality, let's say. And how do you put that out there in photographs?
Well, I think when I would go in, I would really, you know, I would case the joint basically for a while, you know, and I would look around. And a lot of those stores I had been to already before I started shooting, so I kind of knew the stores. But I would kind of look for what's on the wall. Do they carry a type of genre? Do they specialize in something? Like, is it a punk store? Is it a heavy metal store? Is it more of a jazz, soul, blues store? And how can I bring that out? And that would depend what's in the bins, it's what's on the walls. And then also the owners. The owners really set the tone. This is also partly a portrait project, too. It's a portrait of the stores, but it's also a portrait of the owners that really created the atmosphere of their store, and they really set the tone. So the owner himself, the way he looks, the way he dresses, the way he talks with you, the way he decorates his store, all of that creates the personality of the store, and each of those were very different.
You know, people are going to listen to us, and they immediately will think of, okay, we're talking John Cusack and Jack Black and High Fidelity.
Right.
Were there stores like that in California?
Well, they were kind of known for being kind of snooty. Like they would look down, you know, you'd go in there and somebody would ask for something like Neil Diamond or something, and, you know, they would tear you apart.
And those places do exist.
They do exist. I found it, all the record store owners to be very generous, very gracious. You know, they liked that I was coming there to take pictures. I mean, I'm used to doing street photography and going into places that aren't so nice and getting, you know, kind of some guy coming out with a shotgun, you know, and saying, what are you doing? You know, what's this for? What are you doing? What, you know, is this, they all think I'm up to something. They're all suspicious and paranoid. And, you know, here it was actually a relief because I said, look, I'm doing a book on what you guys do. And they were like, cool, come on in, you know, and a lot of times they really didn't pay attention to what I was doing. They were glad I was there. And yeah, I found most of the stores, they were really nice, really friendly. I didn't find them to be snooty or not very nice to the customers. There were a few stores that I chose not to do. Sometimes I'd find that if the owner didn't have much interest in what I was doing, there was one store in particular that's actually closed now, but everybody would ask me, are you going to shoot that store? Why not that store? Why don't you do that store? Hey, how about that store? And just the fact that people kept asking me, I chose not to do that store. And when I was there, they didn't really show much interest in what I was doing. So I just said, you know, forget it. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think they were very friendly and open and welcoming to me.
Well, in the array of stores that you portray in the book, you got some very small ones and some very huge ones. In fact, I'd like to ask you about, you know, one on each extreme, probably the biggest one and one that may actually be known to people outside of Southern California is Amoeba Records. Huge place. Recording artists come in there like Paul McCartney and they actually record live sets there. And that's how big this place is. I mean, that's one of the record stores in the book. How did that one come about?
Well, Amoeba, they opened 2001, I think, like right after I moved to LA. And of course, they were already up in Berkeley and San Francisco. So I had already been to their stores in San Francisco many times. And I just would frequent that store a lot. I didn't know a lot of the other smaller record stores, you know, to be honest. I got to know a lot of them through the process of this project. But Amoeba, of course, is an amazing store. It's huge. And when I started going there in the early 2000s, this sort of, you know, record store resurgence hadn't quite gotten the kind of, you know, momentum it's gotten in the last 5 years. So it was still like you could go there and kind of chill out and look for records. And, you know, you had so much to choose from and it was like a calming kind of place. You know, now it's gotten a little bit out of control. And that's kind of what I found with that particular store. It's a great store, but a lot of people don't know about the other stores. So they all gravitate to Amoeba. And then it becomes a little too trendy, a little too hipster, a little bit too crowded. And then it loses some of that, what it used to have, you know, that I used to like about it. So it was important for me to not only include Amoeba, the granddaddy, you know, that's like the Tower Records now, but to really focus on the smaller mom and pop stores, because that's a totally different experience. And you have a totally different relationship with that store and with those owners. And what's different is that I could get to know the owners more because it's one guy, you know, or one or two guys in there. And now it has that old mom and pop feel to it where you go in, the guy knows you now. He, you know, you can tell him, could you hold that record for me? I'll be back in a few days. He may know what you like. You know, they're never going to do that at Amoeba because there's a billion people working there. So there's an impersonal sense, a little bit of an impersonal sense to the bigger stores, though they try to be as personal and friendly as they can, but you just can't have that as you can in a smaller store.
We're talking with Mike Spitz about the record store book. let's talk about upcoming projects.
We have two projects. I wanted to say I worked with a writer, Rebecca Villaneta, on this project. She's a journalist, and she is an amazing interviewer and writer, and she and I co-authored this book. And she and I are going to be doing a book on the stores of Cincinnati in northern Kentucky. Now, there's only about 10 stores, so it's going to be a smaller book. So far, I've shot about 5 stores so far, and I have about 5 more to go. And then, we'll start putting that together, and we have to find a publisher for that. But I think there'd be a lot of interest here. Also, we're going to be doing another record store book. We want to do a series of these books. So we've been talking with the publisher about that. And our next project for the record store book is going to be Seattle and Portland. Between the two of those cities, you've got, about 50 stores. And then we want to go on and do Chicago and New York. So we want to kind of cover the big metropolitan areas of the United States.
You have a sense of urgency. Like I said, we were talking before the interview started about all these great stores, and so many of them just don't exist anymore. They're just dropping one after another.
Well, yeah, on the one hand, there is a sense of urgency. There are a lot of stores that are dropping, but there's also, at the same time, it seems like a lot of new ones pop up. Here, even in Cincinnati, one of the stores, Black Plastic Records on Hamilton, they opened up another store in the last year on Main Street. So they're kind of expanding. There's a few stores here now that weren't here, when I lived here. When I was shooting this project in LA, there were several stores that there were actually more new stores that opened than older stores that closed. So on the one hand, yeah, they're kind of fading. But on the other hand, people are sort of getting on the bandwagon, and you're getting these young kind of businessmen, young entrepreneurs that want to start something new. So, yeah, there's a downside and there's an upside to that, too.
So let me ask you one last question here. Mike Spitz, who did all those great photographs for the record store book, what was the first record you bought? Do you remember what you bought, and do you still have it?
Actually, I stole a lot of my records from my brother, and he still holds that against me. He still wants his Led Zeppelin records back. No, just kidding. But I don't know, the first record I probably bought, that's hard to remember. But it was definitely at Everybody's Records.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot for coming by. And like I said, so much fun reading this book, The Record Store Book, 50 Legendary and Iconic Places. We've been speaking with Mike Spitz, who took all the photographs for the book, The Record Store Book, 50 Legendary and Iconic Places, who grew up here in Cincinnati. Thanks a lot for coming back to town and for coming here to the studio.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.